What a beautiful song. You're holding me in your hands. I belong. You'll never let me go. You'll never let me go. So close. Oh, sing it. You're holding me now in your hands. I belong. You'll never let me go. So close, you never let me go. In Jesus' name we worship. Father, again we are grateful, deeply appreciating of your tangible presence. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We enter the word. And we say, let that presence go with us. Amen. Anoint me afresh. That I will speak as I should. Indeed as an oracle of God. Put the same unction and anointing that's on my heart and my lips. On the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are physically present here, as well as those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine. In particular, cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and release it all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I further pray for mercy to be faithful to deliver the word with precision. Redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bring in another treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with every blessing I mentioned in that prayer, all agreed in their individual lives saying, this afternoon, I have a message that is actually a spin-off from what I was teaching on Wednesday in School of Perfection, and I've entitled it Our Heavenly Bank Account. Now, that may sound like a cliche to some, but it's a reality. It's actually a reality. And it's a truth that I guess many Christians don't know. I know that the prosperity message has been thoroughly distorted and abused. So many people, when they hear prosperity, just turn off, switch off, because of so much of the abuse. But that would be a big mistake, because you don't and should not throw away the baby with the bathwater. Hence, the Holy Spirit said I should preach this message and teach on our heavenly bank account. You go with me to Matthew chapter 6, which was where I was teaching from on Wednesday. And if you look at verses 19 through 21, the Lord Jesus is talking about giving. This is the Sermon on the Mount. So, and he makes this statement. You know, it's not just a statement, it's actually a command. You know, God never makes suggestions. Everything God says is a command. You know, he says, lay not up treasures for yourselves, treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Everybody say treasures in heaven. where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Again, this is not a suggestion, it is a fact. And many Christians don't understand the mechanics, the spiritual technology and mechanics behind giving. You know, like I said, because the prosperity message has been so terribly distorted and abused, most people turn off, you know, as a give. Ah, don't want to hear that again. You know, but we shouldn't do that. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. The famous 419 scripture. But I'm not reading 19 immediately. And look at verses 10 through 17. Paul is talking about his relationship with the Philippian church. The Philippian church was one of the churches that was given to him financially. And this was a background. We need to understand that deliberately, because of abuse, you know, Paul refused to take offerings from the Corinthian church. He didn't take offerings in Achaia, but he did take offerings from the Philippian church. And so he's talking to them about this. And of course, it has universal application to all Christians and all ministers. Say, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, you know, they've been wanting to do it, but at last it came. You know, they've been preparing for it, but it finally arrived to Paul. Your care of me had flourished again. It means they'd done it before, and they did, you know, they were very, very particular about supporting Paul financially. Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. You wanted to do it, but now. Not that I speak. See, this is what our people should be preaching today. So that it will not be a question of covetousness and distortion and abuse. Not that I speak in respect of want. For I have learned, and in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Everybody read that scripture again. It's a compulsory course for every Christian. Let's read it again. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're learning, I'm learning. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. This contentment is not preached. Most of what he just preaches, the other part, you know, the prosperity, the money, and so it moves from the will of God to covetousness. You got to balance it. For I know both. I will scream both. There are two things. And all of us, by God, are allowed to go through these two things. Both. How to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere, and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You are not a balanced Christian if you haven't gone through both. You need, you know, I didn't say this on Wednesday. We need to have times where you're hungry. When I say you're hungry, it doesn't mean you don't have any food at all, but, you know, where you just don't have enough. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. It causes your heart to put its trust only in God. I was given an example from my own life, my wife and I. You know, I mean, we have quite, you know, maybe two or three or four bank accounts. And we also have in England. You will not believe that there are times when my bank account goes to almost zero. I know people won't believe that, but I'm telling you it's true. You know, both here and in England. Well, I have one in England, I have one in Bank of America. At times when it goes to whoop, doesn't stay there for long, but it does go there. Not because I'm poor, but because things happen and I have to do things, I have to obey God. Sometimes God will tell my wife and I to give to some people or do something. and it will clean us out. But it's a test. It's always a test. What? Where's your trust? Is it in the money you have in your bank account? Or in the God who put it there? If it is in the God who put it there, then you should not be afraid to empty it occasionally. Or maybe even frequently. Hello? Now, of course, like if places are in England, you have direct debits, so you can't make it to zero. You have to make sure there's money there, so that when the direct debits come, they can take the money out, and your account doesn't bounce. But what that means is that God wants us to put our trust in Him. He wants us, I said this on Wednesday, and I want to reemphasize. In fact, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures in a few minutes. You know, I deliberately, God said, you on Wednesday, and I took quite a bit of time Wednesday, but it was, I want you to do it again today, and then, you know, really look at scripture. The Bible says, the entrance of His word giveth light. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart, so I will not sin against you. See, the sin of the prosperity message has been to preach the abundance and not preach the need. And not preach the contentment. That's the problem. If I just come and preach only abundance to you, I'm not telling you the whole truth. Yes, God loves you. God will give you abundance. But there will be times where God will allow you to suffer need. You know why? He wants to keep your heart humble. He wants to keep your trust in God and not in things. And what has happened to this generation, sadly, is that most of us, our trust has come only in things. And that's what leads. That is the short road to covetousness. Begin to trust in the money. Begin to trust in the resources. And it makes you proud. It makes you arrogant, which is a different word for pride, you know. It makes you treat people terribly. The scripture is flashing to me. It says, and when King Uzziah became strong, it was God who made him strong, became rich. Same thing with Jehoshaphat. The same thing with Hezekiah. He says his heart was lifted up. You can't help it. It's a part, it's an intrinsic quality of the satanic nature that is still inside the mind. And it's there. Until you get into perfection and then maintain that perfection. And even then, it's still there from the air. It can still try and creep in. I'm telling you. He says, and when he became strong, he says his heart was lifted up. Hezekiah, who God healed marvelously. I love the worship this morning, praise and worship this morning. You know, some of those songs, you know. So we'll know that you, and all the other songs. You know, I don't want to sing them now, no. You know, but, you know, are you truly grateful? Let me rephrase that question. What is the degree of the depth of your gratitude? That's a deeper question. You are grateful. You know what the Bible says about Hezekiah? He said that he did not show sufficient. He was grateful. Go and read it in Isaiah 38, and I think it's somewhere in the Kings or Chronicles, when God healed him and gave him 50 more. He sang. He gave praise and worship. So he was grateful. But it wasn't enough. He the depth of the gratitude was not deep. So when those people came from Babylon, he showed them all his strength. What was he doing? He was simple word today, show off. Because the heart, there was not sufficient gratitude. And that's what happens when all you've known in your life is abundance and you've never suffered need.
You know what you're going to think? You would think the world revolves around you. You will think there is none like you in all the earth. Like I joke with my pastors. It's true. When you see people who have need, you will despise them. Say, "Koni faith ni." I said that in our language. Repeat that. When you see people who have less than you, in your heart, sometimes you'll be thinking, they don't have faith. That's why they're in that kind of problem. No, people like me, like the Pharisee, we don't suffer all those kind of things. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It's not God, no, it's God. God have mercy on us. All that pride, God will strip it away. Now, God wants us to be very rich. I'm going to get to that. But you see, He wants the heart. God remembers what happened with Solomon. Solomon had lack of nothing. Go and read Ecclesiastes. He said, there's nothing his eye saw. That's overindulgence. He did not understand what Paul wrote here. I can abound and I can abase. I am instructed both to abound and to suffer need. In whatever condition I find myself, I am content. Solomon never learned it. You must understand that Solomon was born the son of King David. Unlike David, his father, as well as Absalom, as well as Adonijah, it's all the problem of David's children. And some of the problem of our own children, I must confess. In our own modern day today, same thing. Those boys never had a wilderness experience. David had a wilderness experience. There were times David didn't have food to eat. And had to go and beg people, silly people like Nabal, for food. He was instructed to abound and to be abased. We do our children a disservice. And I love my children. My children know this. And I do look after them. But right on the other hand, I tell my children. And I said, you must learn. It's not every time you have everything you need. Oh, Dad, I need to say, not this time. Can't have it. You can't have it. End of story. You won't die. Yes. We don't, especially when we are financially blessed and our children are, we all, my children must not suffer what I suffer. Let them suffer. So that their hearts will be humble. Let them know that life is not a bed of roses. Let them know that there will be times. Yes, God is with you. Paul wrote it. He didn't say God was not with him. He said, I have learned to be content. And then he goes on in the book of Timothy and says that godliness with contentment is great gain when there is no money. So let them, occasionally, it's not that they will be suffering once, no. God doesn't want that for his children. But he wants us to be in a place where we can empathize with the poor because you have been poor. I didn't say on Wednesday, but I'm going to say it now. I'm talking about Olubi Johnson now, my own personal experience. God took me from London, brought me here. I didn't know the person I was dealing with. He stripped me of everything. Looking back now, I know it was God. I didn't die. And I was not pauperized. But I learned not to have. Something that, I didn't experience before. Came back, when I was with Brother Emiko. When Brother Emiko moved into that, when me and Brother Emiko, he had just moved into a new house when I came to work for him in 1980. The day I drove in, Kenneth Copeland sent us a truckload of all his books and tapes. We had no furniture in the house. True. It was empty. Brother Miko had one bed.
We used to sleep on the same bed. We didn't have two beds. Our chairs were the water can. Was the what's it called? Jerry can. I remember when people like Brother Fred, I did go, okay, you know, David Oyedepo and others, when they come and visit us, just say, please manage. I'm telling you, the house was empty. Empty! And was like that for some months. Then God, you know, some people blessed us with some offering. Then I remember, took my Volkswagen, me and Brother Miko went to Leventis. It used to be, they've closed it now. It's now, whatever. You know, Leventis, we bought this set of table and chair, you know, this plastic, you know, they weave it with a plastic thread, you know, about four of them. You know, that was what we put inside the sitting room. All we're doing every day was get up in the morning, pray, take Word of Faith magazine, you know, do it, you know, take it out, go and post it, take it to people, then go and preach. The house was empty. It wasn't like that for a day. It was like that for weeks, months. At the time, I didn't fully understand it. Though I knew God was with me and I wasn't complaining. But looking back now, I know this was what he was taking me through. You need to learn. I remember my dad coming all the way from Lagos. People have said that your son is... My dad and my mom, they were very worried. They actually thought I had gone off. So one day, my dad just drove in. I didn't know who told him. It's a true story. He just drove in with his Mercedes from Lagos. I just saw this blue Benz coming into the house. And my dad walks out and comes inside the house. He looks around. He said he was just, somebody told him, he said he's just checking on me. I said, thank you, sir. He said, and this is what God... This is what God called you to do. Okay. Got back, entered his car, went to live. I know he was praying for me in his heart. You know how our Yoruba parents pray. You know, I knew it was out of a genuine love and concern. You know, I mean, I assured them later that I'll be fine and all that. But you see, one of the problems with this generation is that they've never been through such things. I slept on the floor with a mat for 9 months. I couldn't afford a bed. And I couldn't go to my parents because I was fighting, in quotes, with them. Because, you know, say God told you, let God look after you now. It's a true story. True story. I bring it here today because this generation has not learned this thing. Just like David's children, Solomon, Absalom, Adonijah, and the others, there were many others. They all grew up in the palace. The food was there all the time. Servants. No wonder why. Some of them, their heart was not like the heart of their father David. David grew up in the wilderness. He grew up fighting lions and bears. He grew up running from Adullam to Engedi to the wilderness of Ziph. You know, from Saul. Not knowing where the meal of the next day was coming from. And I want you to know something. You don't know this, but I'm telling you, this is not on Wednesday. This is just for today. Hallelujah. I want you to know something. Do you know that it was in the cave at Adullam? And it was in the wilderness of Ziph that most of the Psalms came. They didn't come in the palace. A few came in the palace. But majority came in the wilderness. There's something we must learn. So what I've learned and what I'm doing and what I do is that, you know, I look after my children, don't misunderstand. You know, I certainly do. But, you know, I say no to them. I say, no. I say, this one, you have to use your own something. You know, learn
I don't want you to be destitute, but you must learn. It's not every time you will get everything you want. And if you don't learn that lesson in life, if you get too much prosperity, your heart will turn. I didn't hear one amen. Not one. The place was like you could drop a pin. You know, because we've been told, that's what we've been taught. We've been taught the exact opposite. Me, I no go suffer. And the scripture says that you become fellowship of his sufferings. And you are singing, me, I no go suffer. You go suffer. Small. You're not going to suffer all your life. But you will suffer. Look at Joseph. There's something about going through some difficulty that does a work in the heart. No amount of preaching can do it. It helped me. I didn't know I was arrogant. I was. I grew up with relative wealth, you know, not too much, but, you know, very comfortable. Good family background on both sides, my mom's side and my dad's side. I didn't have any problem. Then I got born again. Then God called me. Then the spark started flying. But it made a better man out of me. Amen. If I had stayed like that, I would have been arrogant. The revelation I have today, I won't get it. God, you begin, you know, it's just natural. You look down on people. You know, if they don't have the kind of car you have, you think that, you know, they are inferior to you. If they don't wear the kind of clothes you wear, you think that they are inferior to you. You will say, you know, we are the Johnsons. You know, we are the superior. Yes! It gets to your head. Strip it! Amen. One thing I cherish, memory of my dad, Brigadier Johnson, Uncle Femi, Femi Johnson in Ibadan here, Brigadier Johnson and Larry's mom, was some of the ways they brought us up. I'll tell you a story. It's all part of the message. It's a true story. I was in UI. I was in maybe part one, part two, I can't remember. Uncle Femi was my guardian in Ibadan. So I would go to Uncle Femi's house, you know, during midterm, whatever, you know. And we had a cook. His name was Papa Cook. Larry will remember him. So one day, I was in the house and I wanted something, you know. So I just went to Papa Cook and said, he should do it for me. My uncle was there and he saw the way I spoke. He didn't say anything in front of Papa Cook. So a few minutes later, I think I went upstairs or something. The uncle said, Olubi, come here. He said, that man is an elderly man. You don't talk to him like that. He said, what you have is just by accident of birth. Don't you ever despise the staff. Now go and apologize and talk to him properly. True story. Uncle Larry and Sheyi and Diji, their father was governor, you know, then, you know, after the coup happened and all that. They went to St. Finbar's. They used to go to school by bus. There were about 10 cars in the house. Uncle Bolaji would say, what's wrong with you? The children were going, they didn't die. You too, go and learn how to take bus. You can't do that today because of kidnappers. Nigeria is different today. But in those days, there wasn't all of that. You know, it made us better. So what I'm trying to say is that there is a way you can train your children. There is a way. Prelim, I didn't go for summer. Part one, I didn't go for summer. My parents told me to my face, you're not going anywhere. I'm walking high court. I said, clerk. True story. My stepfather was a judge in the high court. I was working as a clerk in the high court, and I was eating in the canteen with the staff. When I look back now, I now understand what they were doing. This is what I'm preaching. You know, and you see, some of our children rebel against such things. They say, ah, can you do that to me? You're disgracing me. That's exactly what I want to do, disgrace you. And strip you from pride. So you will know that life is not like that. I gave those practical examples. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed, both, scream it, to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have done well that you did communicate. Everybody scream, communicate. If you are not here on Wednesday, go and get the tape. Go and listen. I don't want to go into communicate today. It does not mean communicate. Pastor, how are you? What to communicate? Talking about giving. Giving money. That's what it means. Nevertheless, you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction, because he was in need of material things. Now you Philippians know also, I'm looking at verse, yes, good. That in the beginning of the gospel, blah, 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 blah. You know, let's jump. Let's now go to verse 16 and 17. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Everyone say, account. Say it again. Account. One more time. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you know you have an account in heaven? I'm talking about a bank account. It's true. And that's what Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 6. He said, don't lay your treasure in this account on the earth. It doesn't mean you shouldn't have money in your bank account. But what he's saying is that your confidence and your trust should not be in the money or the material wealth, stocks, bonds, all those kind of things, you know, that is in the bank account in the earth. Why? Because the one in the earth can be corrupted. The one in the earth, you can lose it. Just yesterday, somebody was talking about the guy who owns Facebook, Zuckerberg. Nice guy. I have nothing against him. Don't understand. You know, within 2021, he lost half his fortune. He lost $71 billion. When he changed from Facebook to Metaverse, you know, and you know all the COVID and, you know, he had some problems with the American government and all that. He's still rich. But he's not where he used to be. And if your heart was in that thing, you would have a heart attack. Because the treasure has been divided into two. So just like it ripped the treasure, it will rip your heart if your heart is there. It's a lot of money to lose $71 billion. Thank you, Pastor Ibrahim. Dollars, not naira. Dollars. So you can understand what we are talking about. But you know, as Christians, that shouldn't bother us. Amen. Because you see, the $140 billion that was there originally, before it became 71, is that it was God who put it there. So if it goes down, the same God can put it back. Amen. So my trust is not in that account, it's in the one in heaven. Amen. Because it is, watch this, my God shall supply all your need according to your bank account. No, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Give him a glory clap offering. Amen. Hallelujah. So where is my trust? The riches in glory. So let's move on very quickly here. You know, I said also a lot of this on Wednesday. I'm just going to hit through very fast and close.
wisdom, there are two things that are put in that account in heaven. It's not money. Number one is wisdom. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8, I'm not going to go there. You know, wisdom cries out aloud. You know, she puts forth a voice. She's better than gold and silver and all of that. And then in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, it says that, you know, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's the true riches. True riches is not money. Money will change overnight. Like I just gave the example of Mark Zuckerberg, and I'm trusting God that God will have mercy on him and help him and bring his money back. So I'm not against him. Don't misunderstand me. But you see, what I'm saying is that you can't put your trust in that material things. The wisdom, and then the second thing that is treasured there is power. Power is ability. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18 says, he giveth us power to make wealth. Power. It means ability. It also includes skill, good health, strength, to create wealth. You see, wealth, there are two levels of prosperity. There's prosperity where God transfers wealth. Somebody gives you from what they have. Give and it shall be given unto you. That's transfer of wealth. Then the second, the higher level of prosperity is the creation of wealth. You create it by the wisdom God gives you and by the power that God gives you. So God wants us to put our treasure in our heavenly bank account. The wisdom of God, the power of God. This is where, prof, they missed the prosperity message completely, you know, and distorted it. I'm a strong prosperity preacher. You can see by my clothes. Amen. True. So I believe in prosperity. I am not knocking it. I really, because you know why? It's the Bible. Bible says he became poor that we might become rich. You through his poverty might be rich. The Bible says so. It doesn't even say manage. It says rich. Then we looked at this on Wednesday, 2 Corinthians 8, 9, 8. Having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. That scripture will blow your mind. Put it on the screen. I gotta say it. That 9, 8 will blow your mind. Even Bill Gates and Elon Musk are not as rich as this. If they try, they'll be broke in a week. It's truly. Look at 2 Corinthians. Give it to me in the Amplified. It's God's will. I'm going to get back to the message in a minute, you know. And God, everybody say, and God is able. Oh, scream at somebody. I didn't hear you. To make some grace, every favor, an earthly blessing, come to you in trickles. In trickles. So that you sometimes, you occasionally, and under all circumstances. It means inflation should not affect you. Depression should not affect you. Ukraine war should not affect you. Hello. Nobody is here yet. Nobody. Underline the word yet. Because God is bringing saviors out of Zion. But by the time we get here, our hearts will be stable. See, Solomon approached this. He didn't get there. But he approached it a little bit. But because God, the work had not been done in his heart, that money, the love for that money, the trust in that money corrupted Solomon. And it's not going to happen again. That is why, turn to your neighbor and say, a greater than Solomon, you and I, is here. Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have learned through that Christ, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Solomon hadn't learned that. Brought up in the palace, grew up in abundance, never had a wilderness experience, never suffered anything. And then God now multiplied money to him. Ah, Solomon, yayere. And began to misbehave with the daughters of the East country. Always and under all circumstances, and whatsoever the need, listen to this, oh, be self-sufficient. I didn't hear you. Possessing enough
to require no aid or support, and furnished in trickles for a few good works and a few charitable donations. The every follows the two of them. My wife is expert in English. I'm telling you, by osmosis. Amen. Are you listening to me? You know, every is every good work and every charitable donation. Can you imagine a situation where there is nobody who asks you for something you don't give to them? The people in the flood, in the delta, they come, you give them. The one from Kogi comes, you give them. The one from Anambra comes, you give them. You know, the one from Nasarawa comes, you give them. The one from Edo comes, you give them. You know, the one from Ogun State comes, you give them. Now, by the time you keep that, to do that in a week, the money will finish. But watch this. Oh, glory to God. I just came by revelation. If what is coming in, the rate at what is coming in, if it is far greater than the rate of what is going out, you will always have this. Give the Lord a clap offering. That's why you have to create wealth at such a high level that the what is coming in, the rate at which the resources are coming in, whatever it is you're giving for charitable donation and all of that, it cannot hurt what is inside. We will get there. I said we will get there. But before we get there, this work has to be done. God does not want our trust to be in material things. We're going to look at a few scriptures. Look at Mark chapter 10, verse 21. This is the great scripture of the rich young ruler. I'm not going to read everything. I'm just going to pick the verses. You know, we're going to look at quite a number. God gave me an assignment this afternoon. He said, I want you to preach this thing and teach it and give those scriptures. Because the Bible says, watch this. The word of God is like a sharp sword, piercing. I want you to pierce your heart. Even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now, verse 21. Jesus behold him, loved him, and said unto him, go and sell everything that you have. Take up your cross and follow me. Then jump to verse 24. Quickly. And the disciples were astonished at his words. And Jesus answering saying unto them, children, how hard it is for them that what? What? I didn't hear you. Trust. That's the key. Not having riches, but trusting in them. This is Barnabas. Church history tells us. He was a very rich man. The Bible says he went away sad. He would have been a replacement for Judas. Yes. Barnabas' name would have been in the foundations of the city. He's there somewhere. But he's not in the foundation. That's what he blew. He was the perfect replacement for Judas. Because, like, I don't criticize negatively. I'm learning from him, you know, because he's just like all of us. What he had was so big in his eyes, he couldn't go and give it all away. Jesus didn't want to make him poor. He wanted to make him 100 times richer. But to get 100, it's not stored on the earth. The prosperity message, where we've made the mistake, you know, all this kalokalo prosperity. Kalokalo just means, you know, one-armed bandit, this casino kind of prosperity. You give God this, God gives you back. You give God. So maybe we should take up an offering this afternoon. It's a good time to take up. Prof, what do you think? A good time to take up a serious, you know, how many people want serious prosperity? Where you are? And my wife give special offering. We'll line you up. Now, this is the mistake what they make. Say, if you give, they like 7 a lot. So, if you give $700, you're going to get $70,000 back in 2 weeks. If you give $7,000, you're going to get $700,000, you know, in 3 weeks. That's the kind of message they preach. Thinking that the return is in cash and on earth. No. when you give the $7,000 or the $700 or whatever it is that you give, you know, what happens is that there's a deposit in the heavenly account. The deposit is not in naira. It's not in dollars. It's in wisdom and power. But it's there for you. When you now have a need, you must now access the heavenly account. That's the wahala. Now, what people don't want. To access the heavenly account, you have to pray. Because that's the only way you can access the heavenlies. Praying always, all prayer and so on. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness of this world, wicked spirits in heavenly places. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always, all prayer and supplication of the Spirit. That's how you access the heavenly account. When you now pray, and you pray in tongues and groaning and all of that, you now open the heavens, you now go into your account, and you access the wisdom, and you access the power to create the wealth that you need on the earth. That's how the system works. But most people don't want that. They're too lazy spiritually. And many times there's not sufficient grace because of pride and all this arrogance and all that in their heart. So they don't access the heavenly account. So they cannot tap the wisdom. They cannot tap the... Because they're thinking carnally. Ah, should I give that pastor? Hey! Hey! That pastor has tricked me. He told me to give me 7,000. I haven't got 7,000 back. You've just been conned. That's a distortion of the prosperity message. God doesn't work like that. Yes, he will give back to you. But he's not going to give it to you just in cash. Occasionally, he may ask people to come and give to you. But that's occasional. He's going to give you wisdom. He's going to give you power that you can only access through prayer, obedience, and walking in the Spirit. That is why the true biblical prosperity is even as your soul prospers. Because if your soul doesn't prosper in revelation, your soul does not prosper in the fruit of the Spirit, you cannot access your heavenly account. I thought I'm preaching a prosperity message. Nobody's getting excited here. Look at how they're looking at me. But, Pastor, look, this one is not good news. Hello? Look at Proverbs 11, verse 28. Quickly. He that trusteth in his riches shall what? Fall. What happened to Solomon? He fell. That's why God does not want us to trust in it. If you trust in riches, you're going to fall. It's non-negotiable. Because of the sin nature in the human heart. Next one. I want the Holy Ghost to cut. We're doing a surgery here this afternoon. We're taking the sword of the Spirit and I'm cutting into your heart. Hello, somebody. Next one. By the time I finish, you will be humble. 23:5. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5. I didn't do all of this on Wednesday. I was instructed. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches, I didn't hear you, certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle. I just spoke about Mark Zuckerberg. You can't don't put your trust in whatever you have on the earth. Oh. That all that real estate. Do you know how much real estate? You know, I have 3 flats in London. I have one in Paris. You know, I've got this big estate somewhere. Overnight, earthquake can remove them. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen to you. I'm just saying you shouldn't put your trust in it. Are you listening to me? Material, financial wealth can disappear overnight. Next verse. Everybody look at Psalm 52 verse 7. I didn't share all this one on Saturday. God gave me instruction this morning. He said, come and pierce their heart. I didn't hear amen. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. That word wickedness there, strengthens his lack of instruction. He was able to make that money, but with wuruwuru. The wuruwuru is a Nigerian term. It just means, in crooked ways. So he strengthened himself. He's made a lot of money. Some of our politicians. I won't go there. Hello? And he's trusting in the abundance of his riches. He's in trouble. He's in trouble. Because those riches can disappear overnight. Or worse, the riches will not disappear, but you will disappear. Like he asked the rich young ruler, whose then shall be all these things? Be very careful. Be very careful. Don't live your life as if you are in charge of your life. You are not. He said, the God who has his breath in your hand, he told Belteshazzar, that silly boy who brought out the vessels of gold in Babylon, he said, you have not honored him. You drank to the gods of gold and silver. He said, behold, tonight, you have been weighed in the balances and you have been found wanting. Your kingdom is divided into the Medes and the Persians. And today you will die. You will not die, I know, not you. What I'm trying to say is that this is the lot. This is the result. This is the experience of those who go and trust in riches. Should we have riches? Plenty! But don't trust in them. Put it in the heavenly account. Put it in the heavenly account. My riches are in my heavenly account. I have a little here, but most of it is over there. You know, as I need, I pray. I get some. So that's why, in my own experience, my wife and I, what we've discovered is that God never gives us too much. He gives us a lot, but not too much. He will give us what we need for that time. So then the instruction will come. Give to Boega. Boega, say amen. I'm only joking. You know, give to Rhoda. Everybody be claiming your own, be claiming. Brother Ibrahim is putting up his hand. Okay, give to Yomi. Praise the Lord. Do you understand? You know, instruction will come. Do this, do that. You know, so what he's given us, is gone. So I have to now believe God again. Sometimes I will pray for a bulk sum so I can have money in the bank. So I'm not worrying about this and I'm worried about, you know, he won't give me that bulk. He will give me, but not that bulk. He will just give me enough to take care of these obligations. When the obligations arise, the need comes. When the obligations arise, the need comes. Why? He's training me not to trust in the abundance of riches. Am I helping anybody? One more scripture and then we begin to close. No. Psalm 62, verse 10. Psalm 62, verse 10. Trust not in oppression. I should preach this to all the politicians in Nigeria. We should have this in the House of Senate and the House of Rep. You know, yeah. It's not only Nigeria, it's all over the world. You know, people believe by experience, wrongly, that unless you cheat, unless you steal, not direct stealing, but you know, unless you lie, unless you press somebody, unless you oppress, you cannot make money. It's a lie. But sadly, it's the experience of most people. If you don't do like that, you know, they won't do the work. Oh, you know, if you don't do, that's the only way, you know, you can make things work. You have to, you know, oppress the people. They won't use the word oppress, but you know, you have to be strong. But it's a lie. You don't have to oppress to be rich. You can bless the people that work with you, make them happy, then they'll be more productive. But the only person that can do that for you is God, who can work in their hearts so that they will now be loyal and they will not be disloyal. And they will now give and instead of, you know, embezzling. I know in the natural it's difficult. That's why they trust in oppression. Are you listening to me? If I'm helping you, give me a wave offering, somebody. They trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery.
Now, robbery there isn't just the armed robber who's going around with a gun and taking money from people. He's part of it. He's also the person who doesn't pay his tithe. Hello. Another wave of offering. Just to make sure I'm talking to you.
If riches increase, set,
we looked at this on Wednesday, not your heart. These, I've given you about five scriptures now. God is very clear about the fact that he does not want our heart to trust in riches. The question then is, does he want us to be rich? Yes! I just showed you from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, says, he was poor that we might become rich, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Stand to your feet. God wants us to be rich, but he does not want us to trust in it. And the only way your heart will not trust in riches is to lay it up in your heavenly account by wisdom and power. And then you will draw on it as the need arises. It will create the wealth. It will be used. The thing will go. Then you go back and trust again. Do you know you can... It's hypothetical, but I'll say it. Do you know that you can have... You can have 10 billion naira this afternoon. You want to see a lot. Nigeria. You know, imagine yourself, ha! God is good. Hey, oh! Watch this. Strong alert. In this, little bit past one now. And by this evening, it's all gone. Not wastefully, but because God will say, hey, remember I told you to help those people. Now the money has come. It happened to me recently. Somebody asked me for something I didn't have to give to the person at the time. And when people ask me for things that I don't abuse them, I just tell them, look, not I don't have it now, but if I have, I'm praying along. So I try and be nice. So I think it was a day or two later, some bulk money came into my I get a lot the Nigerian way. So I was beginning to plan. God said, mm-mm. Remember what that person asked you. Said, do that one first. I said, I supplied this to help them. And all the alert has disappeared. So that my trust will be in God. We're going to be, I said a little bit on Wednesday, we are destined to be the richest generation the earth has ever seen. The Bible says we're going to be greater than Solomon. We're going to lend to nations. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, I didn't go there. I went there on Wednesday. Go and listen to Wednesday's message. He said, God said that there should be no poor among you. Watch this. We will have poor with us, but we will not have poor amongst us. I want everybody to repeat it. Say, we will always have the poor with us. But as we obey God, there will be no poor amongst us. But you know that's the plan of God. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 4. You know the will of God. There should be no poor person in the church. Everybody in church should be rich. Amen. And with the glory that is coming, the ability of the mind of Christ, the wisdom, the power, the ability, all of us are going to be rich. Then there is nothing we imagine that we will not be able to do. Money will no longer be a restriction. That's what is ahead of us. But first,
the work in the heart has to be done. So that when the riches increase, you will not set your heart on it. Let's talk to God. I don't know if I've helped you. I know it's not your regular prosperity message. But trust me, this is the true prosperity message. Bid me, in your presence.
In your presence.
We are content.
We are
godliness with content is great gain.
In your presence.
We are content.
We are content.
In your presence. Light.
Expressions of your love.
Revelations
of your power and might. In your presence we now bring.
We now bring
a love song offering. We're in the presence of our King.
In your presence.
We are content.
Oh, sing it to him. Hallelujah.
In your presence. We are content.
In your presence. There is light.
Expressions of your love.
Revelations
of your power and might. In your presence, Lord.
In
your presence, we now bring a love
offering. Presence one last time in your presence. Hallelujah. What gives me contentment is not material things, it's the presence of God. Yes, in your presence,
your presence there.
There is light.
Expressions of your love. Revelations of your power and might.
In your presence.
Yes, your presence
we bring unto you.
A
song offering.
Wherein
the presence. Put one hand on your heart, raise the other hand to God.
In your presence,
there is light.
There is light.
Expressions of your love.
Revelations.
That's the true wealth.
Of your power and might.
Hallelujah. Oh, sing it.
Your presence we now bring
a
love song offering.
Wherein
the presence of our King.
Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this afternoon. Firstly, I come to confess my sins of trusting in material wealth and money. I know in my heart that I am never at peace until the money is in the bank. God, I repent. I receive forgiveness and the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. I ask for fresh life into my spirit. Lord, help me exercise my heart so that my trust will not be in riches, in money that I can see, but in your presence, in the wisdom, the power, and the favor that you always give to supply the money that I need. God, help me shift my heart today. Shift my heart today. So I'll be content with your presence, not with material things. So that when riches increase, no longer will I set my heart on them. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me pass this test of the heart so that you can trust me with abundance of riches to lend to nations and to do the work of the discipleship of the nations in this end time. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for your blood. For your life. For your power. Zofri, l'ombre que clamatolon, l'ombre tout frère, zèle que clamatolon tout frère, tolom tout frère, zique tout frère, ombre que clamatolon, tout clamatolon tout frère de frère, tout clamar, sofrene tout frère, tout clamatolon tout frère, tout clamatolos, tolom tout frère de frère de frère, tout clamatolos, tolom tout frère de frère, tolom yéje, yike frère. In Jesus' name. If you need healing for your body, just stretch your hands towards your device. If you are home, if you're here, just stretch it up. Father, we release the healing power that is already in the air into the physical bodies of those who are stretching forth their hands in faith. Say, be thou made whole in Jesus' name. We come against spirits of fear, of doubt, of oppression, of depression, unbelief. We cast you out. Destroy your works therein. Resist and bind you in Jesus' name. We loose the angels of God, the seven spirits of God, to minister. Minister unto them, Lord. Power of love, soundness of mind, Lord, of counsel and of might. The true riches. In Jesus' name. Just before I take the benediction, have a word. I could taste us a lot, but I'll just say it. The degree to which your heart shifts from trusting in material things to trusting, let me rephrase that. The degree to which your heart shifts from trusting what is in your earthly bank account to trusting in what is your heavenly bank account will be the degree to which God will release abundance of prosperity into your life. You will always have food and raiment. But if you want to move into the major league, if you want to move into the big league, if you want to move into the greater than Solomon league, that work has to be done in your heart. It's a compulsory course. If that work is not done, God will never release that level of prosperity to you. He'll give you enough to eat and drink and, you know, having food and raiment. But he will never give you because he can't trust you. And he doesn't want what so happened to Solomon to happen to you. So start working on that. That's why I preach this message. Your trust should not be in the earthly bank account. What is inside? Your trust should be in what is in the heavenly bank account. Recently, I've had some experiences, you know, nice ones. God has blessed me, my wife and I. You know, but I don't know how I can describe this without looking proud. But, you know, I'm not proud by the grace of God. I'm proud, but in the right way. I'm proud in God, not proud, you know, in something. When I come in contact, and this happened, you know, with rich men in the natural who are many more times materially, you know, I always feel I'm richer than them. Being honest. And you know why? I am. I don't look at wealth as what you have in your account or what you have materially. I got another word. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he has. Of what then does it consist? I will tell you. It consists in the abundance of the wisdom of God, the character of God, and the power of God that he possesses. The more wisdom, the more fruit, the more power you have, the richer you are. And you're richer than any man in the natural who just has natural things. And you can see through their poverty immediately. You find this guy very, very rich, and yet you see him misbehaving. Then you know he's really poor. In other words, are you enjoying it? It's for many of you. It's from the book of Revelation. I know thy poverty, but thou art rich. Let's share the grace. You're not poor. You're really rich. Now shift that heart and start drawing on that heavenly account. And you'll find out what you need, he will supply. What you need, he will supply. Then the more he can trust you, you now start putting more in your earthly account. Because he knows you now. And you're not going to, you know, you're not going to be like Solomon. Your heart is like Hezekiah. And your heart, or like Jehoshaphat. All of them failed. Once money came, their heart became lifted up. Now imagine Jehoshaphat went to make affinity with the house of Ahab. For what? Hezekiah exposes all his wealth to the Babylonians. And I was so selfish. He said, so long as it's not in my time. Uzziah, the Bible says, and God helped him greatly. His heart was lifted. These are examples. It must not happen to the end time Zion church. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon him. The Lord lift up the ladder of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God will make you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of living. With long life of God satisfy you and show you his salvation. Even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So Lord, you know, impart on you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, oh what a guy, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us. Now and forevermore, in Jesus' name.